We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m. And if you miss us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, House Party, YouTube, Twitch, Black Planet. I'm pretty sure somebody said OnlyFans. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the talk, and Google Plus.
In this episode, we'll be putting you up on Bernie Sanders turns inauguration meme into sweatshirts for charity. And Mega Millions winning ticket for $1 billion jackpot sold in Michigan.
Inaugural poet Amanda Gorman delivered a powerful message with her poem, The Hill We Climb. And a common blood oxygen test fails to detect the worst effects of COVID-19 in Black patients.
But first, let's jump into Biden is officially president and has already signed executive orders on stimulus checks, food stamps, and minimum wage.
Hey.
President Joe Biden signed two executive orders on Friday, one of which would increase federal food assistance and streamline the delivery of stimulus checks as the president attempts to stabilize the economy without congressional assistance amid the fallout from the coronavirus pandemic. We have to act now, Biden said in remarks before he signed the orders. We cannot, will not, let people go hungry. Biden has proposed a $1.9 trillion relief plan to Congress, but it's unclear whether it will garner enough Republican support to pass on a bipartisan basis. Until Congress is able to pass another relief bill, Biden's actions are intended as a stopgap measure to stabilize the economy. Some Republicans have questioned whether there is still a need for a second, larger relief bill after Congress passed a $900 billion bill in December. But in his remarks on Friday, Biden said that the most recent relief bill was just a down payment. I like it. We need more action, and we need to move fast, Biden said. We're in a national emergency. We need to act like we're in a national emergency. So we've got to move with everything we've got. Due to the economic fallout from the pandemic, more American families have struggled to put food on the table in recent months. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research institute, reported that nearly one in five adults with children reported that their families sometimes or often didn't have enough food to eat in the last 7 days, according to data collected from the USDA between December 9th and 21st. Black and Latino adults are more than twice as likely to report that their families did not get enough to eat than white families. Biden has also issued a second executive order to improve collective bargaining power and protections for federal workers, and a directive for the Office of Personnel Management to develop recommendations to increase the minimum wage for federal employees to $15 per hour. Well, Biden is jumping in that driver's seat and hitting that stick shift.
Hey, man, I am not mad. I'm not mad at that. And it's crazy how Trump spent the last, 15, 20 days really just totally ignoring what the American public needed. Completely right. Ignoring what we needed.
Right.
All wrapped up, looking over his shoulders, trying to see who he could fire and who he could flip to get the results he needed in Georgia.
Man.
Dude, tripping out, man.
Making a lot of weird phone calls.
Making a lot of weird phone calls and all the phone calls being recorded. Like,
right. Like, come on. Come on.
When are you going to get it, bro? Like, when are you going to get it? It was funny. I did see some pushback online, like Biden's first day in office with members from our community. Like, he's not all these executive orders. He didn't do nothing for Black people. And it's like, one, don't have any unrealistic expectations for the first day.
That immediate
two, pay attention to all the executive order. Does it affect you as a Black person? Then, bruh.
Yeah, I think there's definitely the people that are looking forward to say Black people. Not even African
American. It needs to say Black people.
Blacks. and again, I get where people are coming from.
Right.
Right. But with that being said, understanding that it's a lot bigger, and sometimes the plans are a lot bigger. It's kind of understanding chess, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who don't understand chess. So they're trying to have conversation about chess with the rules of checkers,
mm-hmm.
because that's all they know.
Right, right.
That's
right.
Not a conversation we can really have. So me trying to explain to you chess, it's not going to make sense.
No.
And there's no point in me explaining it further than the checkers rules to you.
Facts.
Yeah.
100% facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and like you said, it don't really make sense to try to explain it to him. So I end up just bowing out. I'm like, yeah. Oh, you know what? You're right. He ain't do
you
nothing for us.
First day. Big dog.
First day in, he ain't do nothing. You right.
Nothing.
Oh, my gosh. Inaugural poet Amanda Gorman delivered a powerful message with her poem, The Hill We Climb. National Youth Poet Laureate Amanda Gorman delivers a soaring poem at President Biden's inauguration. She is the youngest inaugural poet in recent history. Here's a glimpse of her poem that left a mark on the nation. There is always light, only if we are brave enough to see it. There is always light, only if we are brave enough to be it. In the January 18th interview with NPR, the 22-year-old said that she researched other inaugural poets and great speeches by icons like Frederick Douglass. Gorman mentions it was really daunting to begin the poem because you don't even really know the entry point in which to step into the murk. Then the insurrection happened in the U.S. Capitol, which she knew had to be addressed. I was like, well, this is something we need to talk about. Democratic presidents have traditionally celebrated poets by having them read an original piece at the inauguration ceremonies. The Associated Press reports that Gorman was contacted in late December by the Biden Inaugural Committee, officials informing her that she'd been recommended by incoming First Lady Dr. Jill Biden. Gorman already has an impressive resume as a poet. In 2014, Gorman became the first Youth Poet Laureate of Los Angeles, and 3 years later was named the country's first National Youth Poet Laureate. A Harvard University graduate, Gorman was previously invited to the Obama White House and has been asked to perform for former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and Malala Yousafzai, according to her website. We can't wait to see this young, talented queen reach even further heights as a poet.
Look.
She killed that joint.
Like, that was the moment. Like, yeah. I paid attention, like, full attention.
Yeah.
In that moment. I mean, we were covering it live, but there was definitely moments that we were in our conversations. But that young lady, I knew it was good from the hair wrap. I knew the hair wrap said, the confidence of that hair wrap said, it brought to the stand. You don't come to the podium
with
that flair as a young black woman, and you're not about to bring everything, including the kitchen sink.
Man. And I seen like the majority of the reactions and results from just responses on social media from mm-hmm. that day early on was definitely mm-hmm. her. Like,
yeah,
her photos was just zooming all over the place. Like, everybody was feeling that piece. Then there was a shift mm-hmm. to Michelle showing up like a superhero.
Look.
That fit was crazy.
I feel like they need to retire that color and only let her be able to have it.
Bruh. Crazy. And then after that, that old burn, he stole the show. The show stole him. Like,
look, one of the two, whichever side you're sitting on, we know this burn. Hey.
Oh my God.
I mean, that was a great segue. Thanks for that setup.
Hey, you know.
We're going to talk a little about no Bernie Sanders pants. Turning the inauguration meme that we've all seen into mm-hmm. sweatshirts for charity. This man don't ever stop. The you mittens, don't. The pose, the social distancing, they all helped a photo of Senator Bernie Sanders at the inauguration become an internet sensation. And now the image can be a part of your wardrobe. Sanders' campaign store is selling sweatshirts featuring the photo that inspired countless memes, and all of the proceeds are going to Meals on Wheels program in Sanders' home state of Vermont. The $45 black crewneck sweatshirt is made in the USA and union printed in true Sanders fashion.
Right.
The sweatshirt seems to be as popular as the meme. It's currently sold out due to overwhelming demand, according to the campaign store website, which notes it could take up to 8 weeks to receive the item. They pressing them as they come.
Yeah.
Agewell, the largest provider of Meals on Wheels in Vermont, said on Twitter, it's blown away by the support for our Meals on Wheels program. From the sweatshirt sales, Agewell CEO Jane Catton told CNN affiliate WCAX, on behalf of all of the area agencies on aging and our partners in the community who help us provide meal services, this is a tremendous gift and we couldn't be more grateful. This just further goes to show how much Bernie Sanders is the real MVP, turning a meme into a good cause. Trump could never.
Ever. Ever.
Ever. Ever. Ever. Ever. Ever.
Dog.
For one, the internet's. We love you.
Yes. Tremendously.
Whoever was the first man or woman to have photoshopped him onto a backdrop that was not the original, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That has made its way into... I feel like that Bernie meme is going to really become one of those things that will be here in a few years. You know, just memes just exist forever. Yeah. This is going to be one of those ones because it's a whole mood, a whole look.
Yeah.
It's a whole vibe, and it applies to so many situations.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, I mean, think about everyone's emotions around the moment. I won't say the majority of us, but a great deal of us, because half of the people, you know, 75 million did vote for Trump. Mm. But a great deal of us were really excited just with this changeover, you know, in the White House. So we were happy about that. But then we had this collective joy as we're all sharing these memes. Like, it was just like the after party for the inauguration. It just kept rolling.
Right.
Man, I have seen some crazy. So there is a site, apparently, where you can put in, like, you can search for different locations.
Yeah.
And it'll generate Bernie in that location. The Portland Art Museum did one in that in the Contemporary Building that has the white neon letters on the wall. Bernie just sitting right there, and they posted it on the gram like, you know, we're closed, but someone found their way into the building.
Shout out to the fam.
Straight up, yo, that joint is tight, man. But yeah, I was loving it. I was like, what's one of like the craziest ones that you saw?
So mine, when they started getting into putting him into like the Wu-Tang picture, I don't know, this might be a deep dive, but remember Mercedes from No Limit? So the picture used to be her on the front of a Benz, reminiscent of like the little, exactly.
Yep, I remember.
They just had Bernie sitting in front of the Benz, lost it. Lost it.
Oh my god.
How about you?
Yo, nah, I think you reminded me. The Wu joint was what did it. The Wu joint, I was like, yo, that's crazy. Where RZA hands on his head.
Yes.
Like, that joint was crazy. I'm definitely appreciative of all the creatives out there that spend some time in Photoshop. Even the ones that are like look like it's like they cut it out with a pair of scissors and it's all jagged. Like, even those are funny because you understand the intent. Like,
yes.
Man, too much. Too much, bro. It was great. A common blood oxygen test fails to detect the worst effects of COVID-19 in Black patients. All right. There's always, you know, there's always something. There's always something. We talked about the disparities and the way we're treated, you know, a couple of shows ago. Let's jump into this joint. A pulse oximeter measures blood oxygen levels and is one of the key ways to determine how serious someone's case of COVID-19 is. Mm. But it's not always a racially equitable device. It can produce inaccurate results for people with darker skin tones. Michael Jodding, a pulmonary physician and professor based in Michigan and originally from Salem, Oregon, conducted a study on the device, which was published in December. His findings were first noted by the Salem Reporter. The results, which analyzed white and Black ICU patients, revealed that compared to white patients, Black patients had hidden and dangerously low oxygen levels in their blood not detected by a pulse oximetry device at nearly three times the rate of white patients.
Ooh.
The main difference with our paper is we really focused on the situation when the pulse oximeter was reading normally, Jajing says. Our paper was the first one to show that in this range of oxygen levels, which seemed to be normal, the pulse oximeter was potentially missing low oxygen levels more often in Black patients. Dr. Jill Ginsberg, director of North by Northeast, a Portland healthcare center dedicated to Black health, says patients should trust their at-home readings, and if oxygen levels ever drop, they should check with a healthcare provider, regardless of their skin tone. A critical factor is having enough trust in one's doctor to ask questions, which can be a challenge in Oregon, where there's a lack of racial diversity in the medical field. Sajing's study came after he noticed more Black patients being admitted into hospitals than usual as the pandemic emerged. Sajing says, there's a long history of disparities in healthcare. This is just another example. Yeah.
Listen to your patients.
Please. Please. It's one thing to ask, you know, the healthcare providers to listen to their patients. It's another thing to get our community and communities of color comfortable, like, communicating what's actually happening with us. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I know I didn't really start paying attention to it until I got, you know, in my late 30s. Right. And I'm having conversations with physicians and you're telling them what's going on. They're kind of just like flagging it. Because for a while, you just trust what they say. These right. are the people that went to school. They got the degrees. They got the white lab coat. They right. got to know what they're talking about.
Right.
And then they're giving you prescriptions for things that aren't working. So it's like, what's wrong with me? You know what I'm saying? And we kind of internalize that a lot. When really, we're just not being listened to. And these devices and some of these things that are meant to give them the proper metrics aren't set up for us at all. No good, yeah, man.
It's as we talked about plenty of times, and I think we've commented at multiple points, you know, throughout the history of this show, when it comes to, you know, how we advocate or do not advocate for ourselves in a lot of these, because it's frustrating. And then not even just with the frustrating part, as you said, we expect the professionals to know what they're talking about more than what we're talking about, even right. though we're the one experiencing whatever it is we're experiencing.
Yeah.
And sometimes not having the language to even communicate it properly, I think can play a part in there. And then the follow-up, right? Having a second opinion, where I think there's, even for myself sometimes, the idea of, okay, if I go to my doctor and something is off and go into another, there's this weird thing in the back of my head that always put that type of a scenario, like, did they go tell the other doctor, like, oh, he came to me to come see.
Yeah.
And then it gets weird. You know what I mean? Like, luckily I've not had anything crazy that needed, but that's a thought that's in my head. Just because as any organization we've been a part of, we realize everybody behind the scenes talks.
Right.
Knowing what's going on with each other. So that's always been a thing that ran through my head. I don't know. I do hope that as more of these studies and papers are published, that people start really taking these things serious and not just believing people are just crying.
Right.
Just whining.
Right. Like, you know, we expect the professionals to give us professional levels of service. And yeah, I definitely relate to what you're saying with the second opinions. You almost feel like you're snitching. Trying to go get a second opinion. It's like, so when I come back to my original doctor and he finds out I want to get the second opinion, is he going to treat me weird? Like,
right.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Well, you know who don't need a second opinion? We don't even got the name.
Right.
Just someone.
I wish I could be someone. I mean, I'm somebody, but I ain't this someone.
Became a mega millionaire in Michigan.
Bruh.
The Mega Millions winning ticket for $1 billion. We got the popper stopper, so this B ain't even be implosive like I need it to be. $1 billion jackpot sold in Michigan. He gonna get a yacht. They right by all the lakes.
Listen.
And it's going to be like $20 to him. Anyway, or her, because we don't know.
Right. Just a drop in the lake.
Can you imagine winning $1 billion?
No.
That don't even sound right.
It doesn't.
Billion only sounds, it never sounds right.
No.
But
billion.
To know you hit, and even after taxes,
Yeah.
You still up a half a milli.
Yeah, you still looking real pretty after taxes, dog. Like, sheesh. Like you said, just drop in the bucket. Literally, like, everything from that point forward is like building Sims. I'm going to just drop a house here, drop a car in the driveway, drop a boat. Like,
if somebody was to take my parking spot, you know, you pull in and somebody's swooping before you?
Right.
I'll buy this whole parking lot.
I will buy this parking lot.
Y'all will park across the street. Nah.
Y'all won't play? See what happens.
See y'all want to play?
I'll buy this whole joint. I'll park wherever I want in here.
I'll make this whole thing a dog park. Well, someone in Michigan bought the winning ticket for $1 billion. Mm. Which was the third largest lottery in U.S. history. The third?
Right. Excuse me.
Okay. Well, the winning ticket was purchased at a Kroger store in the Detroit suburb of Novi. Mm-hmm. The Michigan Lottery says, someone in Michigan woke up to life-changing news this morning, and Kroger, Michigan congratulates the newest Michigan multimillionaire, said Rachel Hurst, the regional spokeswoman for the grocery chain. The Mega Millions top prize has been growing since September 15th.
Wow.
When a winning ticket was sold in Wisconsin. September 15th.
Wow.
Yeesh. The lottery's next estimated jackpot is $20 million. Friday night's drawing just came 2 days after a ticket sold in Maryland matched all six numbers drawn and won a $731.1 million Powerball jackpot. Mm. Only two lottery prizes in the U.S. have been larger than Friday's jackpot. Three tickets for a $1.586 billion Powerball jackpot were sold in January 2016, and one winning ticket was sold for a $1.537 billion Mega Millions jackpot in October 2018. 126 people bought more than 600 tickets for the Friday drawing but didn't win the jackpot. They hope to win enough money to replace a publicly owned bridge on their island in the Detroit River that has been closed indefinitely for major repairs. Mm. The only other transportation option for the island's 10,000 residents is a privately owned toll bridge. The odds of winning a Mega Millions jackpot were incredibly steep at 1 in 302.5 million.
Man, listen, it's never going to change. Every time somebody hit, the first thing that comes to your mind is, man, I should have played.
Yeah.
No matter how crazy the odds are, no matter how stacked against you the odds are, you always like, man, that could have been mine. But could it?
I had an extra $7.
Right.
Look, you know, so let me ask you this right quick.
Mm-hmm.
You struck for the Billy. First off, are you taking the annulment payments or you going for, I'm going to just get my taxes taken, get that one lump sum?
I think I would just get my taxes taken out and go for the lump sum. Let's get it out the way.
Yeah, there's money I never had. I don't miss it.
I don't know what the future of this economy, society, any of that is. Yeah. I need to have all of the money up front.
Yeah.
So I can go ahead and start working on my doomsday prepping, get the underground bunkers. You know, all the stuff of my dreams. You know.
So tell me about your first 24 hours.
I'm low. I'm so low. Listen.
No, after the deposit's made. Sorry. The deposit is made.
I'm still low. I got to rethink. I got to reframe my whole perspective. Like, okay, I'm in a position now where anything I want to do can be done. Mm-hmm. Consult the family. You know what I'm saying? We got to go on vacation real quick. You know what I'm saying? I need all the family on vacation. Let's get on out of here. Another vacation with friends. Let's get on out of here. Let's figure some things out. Let's talk about some investments. Disappear, B. Just
like, you know, I'm going to give it to you. That's a real mature answer.
I've thought about it a lot. Can you tell?
Ask me that same question.
So you get hit post-taxes off that billy. Mm-hmm. What you going to do?
First off, I'm clearing out all of my saved items in Amazon. They're all purchased.
With warranties.
Look, with the warranty. I'm going to go ahead and sprinkle my closest friends who have public wish lists. Go ahead and clear those out.
They're not even going to know what's going ahead. They're just like wow,
I am going to be reckless for that first. I don't understand what that type of. I am going reckless.
I feel you.
Oh, you said 8,000 for this noodles? I'll take two of them just in case I don't like the chicken flavor. That's just. I just need to go crazy and then I regroup.
Okay.
The regroup happens after, right?
Okay.
Because I don't want to have a midlife crisis later because I didn't ball out to begin with. I am a poor black kid. I just need a moment to feel what it feels like. I watched Big growing up.
Right.
I just want to see what it feel like for a minute. Then I would jump into mode and do all the things right. But that first 24.
I feel you.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Amazon going to need a runway in my front porch. What?
Like a ramp. Just a full ramp.
Full ramp. You know, I might as well just set the production table up outside the casa. But nah, just in that first day, yeah, I would not know how to act. It's cars for everybody. You get a car, you get a... It's all, because again, at the end of the day, I might have ran through, let's say, $2 million.
And you'd still be super straight.
This is what I'm saying. That's why I would just act really... Yeah. That's it.
I ain't gonna lie. I mean... There are some crazy, crazy lists in my head. Like there's part of me that's always been like, listen, don't rush and, you know, break the bank and stress yourself out trying to get certain things now, because everything has a price on it. You can get it later on in life. Just, you know, the things that aren't ridiculous. Yeah. With that hit, I'm getting all the comics.
Look.
All the figures I want.
Look.
All the records.
Look.
Like, I'm dumbing out.
Look.
Dumbing. My in-ground pool
won't
have an
in-ground pool.
I didn't
ask you a price, sir.
Sir.
I said I want that.
Why are we still talking? Gift it to me.
Now.
Oh, so you need me to buy your store because you're being difficult. Fine.
By the land deed. He said, what?
I'm going to need you to move your car off of my property, please. Hand over the keys. Leave everything where it is. I'll cut off the lights. Thank you. Care, fire him on the spot. Clean out your desk. I'll cut off the
even have that cardboard box. You just pulled out the cardboard, like, go ahead, just whatever you can get here.
Oh my god.
Well, thank you for that. We have done it.
We've done it. Done it. Yo, make sure you check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. as we sit down and run up the numbers.
Run up the numbers.
Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron needs to resign.
Hosted by Cam Jones and DJ Ambush.
Brett Hankinson needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Special thanks to our researcher and writer, Claudia Claudio.
Miles Cosgrove needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Music by C.
Jonathan Mattingly needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death. Let's get it going.
How long we gotta wait? Look. We out the thing.